Hello, I'm Fox from Grapple Arcade on BBG Wrestling Network, and welcome to episode 5 of the NWA review. I'm actually on my own tonight because Chris, BBG Chris, is gallivanting around Liverpool. Who knows what he's up to? Richard, who normally joins me, has got a bad ass, and Dan, who keeps dangling carrots pretending he's going to join us, still hasn't joined us yet. Whatever, Dan. So yeah, cheers lads, thanks very much. Like, without further ado though, let's just crack on. This week we start the show with what I can only really describe as an amazing Eli Drake compilation package video, pretty much covering his promos and his matches over the past 4 weeks. Anyone with a belt, I'm coming for you, was pretty much his message that he was sending out there. I thought it was really well made, this, and I thought it really kind of give you the impression of solidifying that nobody really knows what his game and agenda is. And that, for me, is something that we've been speaking about over the last couple of weeks, where Eli would come out, he'd kind of interrupt other people's promos, he'd give them a bit of a pep talk, and then it would kind of end up him teaming with somebody or aligning with somebody, but still not really slagging off the opponents. And it's difficult to really work out what his game is, but there's definitely an agenda there. And, you know, we might find out a bit more in this episode. Colt Cabana then came out and spoke to Marquez. He basically clarified that he wants to get a shot. Well, he's got his shot at James Storm's national title due to his and Aldous's team's win last week. Now, the match with Storm is going to be later on in the show. But it was interesting, this, because it kind of jumped from there straight into another promo with Aaron Stevens. Now, Aaron's been coming out weekly, entertaining the masses with his silence, crack, don't look into my eyes stuff. It's been really good so far, and this week was the same as per usual. Encapsulates somebody who you really dislike. There's quite an interesting couple of things to point out in the match that he has later on. But basically, Starks won by a fluke last week, Ricky Starks, against Aaron Stevens last week. So Stevens has presented and contacted and pestered the NWA to get, or petitioned even, to get a rematch with Starks tonight in a match style of his choice. Marquez pushes him for that, to which Aaron Stevens pretty much says, I don't know. So we'll hopefully find a bit, well, we definitely will find a bit more about that later on. He also explained that he's the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of William Shakespeare, to which the fans booed, and he responded, are you booing Shakespeare? Which was probably my favourite quote of the night. The first match of the night sees the Dawsons versus Mims and Kingsley. Now, what I really loved about this squash is that they're mix and matching up the enhancement talent such as Mims and Kingsley. We've seen them tag with other people in previous weeks, and tonight they're teaming together. I like the way that they're doing this, because this is a proper sort of a flashback to the old school 80s and 90s of how they're using talent enhancement wrestlers to put over the stars, so to speak. I like the way that they do this, and it just really highlights their use of squash matches really, really well. In fairness to the Dawsons in this match, they did let Kingsley get a little bit of attacking, which I thought was great. Mims not so much, but Kingsley got a bit of an attacking. I do like what I see from Kingsley and the little that we get to see from him in these squash matches. I think he's got something more to offer, and I hope he potentially maybe starts making some strides a bit later, even whether he's an opener or a mid-card or whatever. I think he's definitely got something about him. So it's a good way to find out what wrestlers are actually about, who you maybe don't know and haven't necessarily been around the block, at least on TV anyway. In fairness, again, though, Dawson's ended up battering him, as you'd expect. Completely got the squash on. At one point, could have pinned him, but decided to pick him up and literally throw him with some bloody force at Mims to create like a forced tag. They knocked him for a bit, got the pin. Fun squash match. They rounded it off by having a pretty fun promo at the end of the match as well, basically stating that they deserve a tag shot, deserve a tag title match. They've bulldozed every team they've been in the ring with so far, and you can't really grumble with that. I think that they are a force to be reckoned with in the tag team division in NWA, in any tag team division, in fairness. I really like these guys a lot and what they bring to the table. Well, Kingston and Homicide actually came out during this to speak a little bit. Kingston pretty much said, if you want a title shot, why don't you wrestle us again first? I know you beat us last time we wrestled, but if you fight us and beat us, we'll put our title shot on the line. Yeah, I could understand where I was going with this one, but it kind of, what was the upside of this for Kingston and Homicide. I didn't really understand what they were getting out of it, apart from a bit of retaliation. But quite high stakes to put on the line just for a bit of a scrap. Even more bizarrely, the Dawson said, "Well, think about it." Right. What's there to think about? But fair enough, fair enough. This led very nicely into a pre-recorded promo, like a not live on the night kind of promo with Tim Storm. Probably one of the best ones they've done yet. They've absolutely nailed his sort of face character that you can't help but get behind and root for. He comes across so real, and we say this every single week, and everybody says the same thing pretty much. I don't think there's a better out and out, more human, passionate, you can see the love in his eye for what he does, face in the wrestling world at the moment. And God, everybody just like really gets behind him. People love him. One of the things he states in the promo is, "You saying that the world title is not in my grasp is heartbreaking." You felt the passion in every word that he said. Randomly, Nick Aldis turns up and kind of walks Tim off to have a sort of private chat with him. You can overhear everything that's being said because the camera and the mic picks it all up. Tim basically says, well, he's not allowed to wrestle for the world title anymore. And whilst he respects all of the other titles, like the national title, the tag titles, etc., the fact that he's not allowed to wrestle for the world title anymore brings a bit of a tear to his eye. Nick then sort of randomly tells him that everything is possible, that the NWA, what it is now today, is Tim is partly responsible for that, you know, that it's on Tim's shoulders as much as it is Nick's shoulders, that he has brought it to the dance. He is one of the main reasons why we are here today watching it on YouTube and enjoying every minute of it. And although we fully agree with Nick, it was really interesting to see this. It kind of left it without much being said, but the inclination was that it's not over for Tim Storm. And it's going to be quite interesting to see where we go with this one. But yeah, that left it very wide open to suggest that Tim will likely get some kind of rematch, hopefully, in the future. Now, we've had quite a lot of promo packages so far, promos by the ring, and only one match. But this goes into the debut of Thunder Rosa against Ashley Vox. Now, I've got to point out off the bat, Jim Cornette. Oh, man. Oh, where do you start with Jim Cornette? Right, Jim Cornette said, "Rosa is scary. They use her picture in prisons to cure the sex offenders." I want to move on from that pretty quickly, to be quite honest with you. One of the things that's worth pointing out here is that Vox beat Bell last week. And due to beating her, she's now got a shot at the women's title against Allison Kay. So to have this match in between is quite an interesting one, because you've got now the number one contender against a debuting, what can only be described as a hyped up megastar in the making. Rosa did not disappoint. What a bloody match this was. This was so much fun. She came out all guns blazing and quite quickly made you realise, right, she is definitely high calibre wrestler here. It was wonderful to see. In all fairness, I think the women's division needed an injection of somebody with a bit of bite and somebody arguably at a similar level from what you can tell that Allison Kay is. I think those two are going to be the standout stars going forward in the women's division. That's no knock on the likes of Vox, because to be quite honest with you, she put on a really, really good match tonight. As well, she's coming in here, as I said, as the number one contender to Allison Kay's title. However, she pretty much took the whipping. She took a kicking for the entire match. And all credit to her, because she did it really well. And I thoroughly enjoyed her performance. She did put on a positive, very good performance. But Rosa's debut was just really, really spot on. Interestingly, Marty came out to war drums after the match. Told Rosa to get out of the ring. I mean, at this point, Rosa had beaten Vox. She was slapping her about still, giving her a bit of a kick and still. Marty came out for a save, in a way. And Rosa complied to when Marty said, "Get out." She kind of went, right, yeah, all right then, whatever. As I said, Rosa is, she's realistically the challenger for the title going forward. Whatever, I'm thoroughly, thoroughly looking forward to a match between Rosa and Kay. I cannot wait to see where they potentially go with that. I think it's clearly a build towards that, and it'll be really fun to see what they do with it when they pull that trigger. Now, interestingly, after the match, Marty starts to cut a bit of a promo talking about where she's in the pecking order, saying that she's not very happy that Allison Kay pointed out that she wasn't ready for a shot at her world title yet. In fairness, she did get beat the previous week to prove that point. But still, she explains that she's not very happy about the fact. To which Allison Kay turns up and proclaims that this ain't Dr. Phil, which I thought was a fantastic little one-liner for what the crack was about. Rosa then runs back out and attacks Kay, gives her a bit of a kicking. Now, she holds up Kay. Marty jumps back into the ring, does the whole, am I going to save her or not? No, she doesn't. She runs in with a kick to Allison Kay's face, giving you the inkling that, yes, she's pissed off with Allison Kay, but where does she stand now in terms of her any kind of allegiance towards Rosa? Is it mind games by Rosa kind of trying to swoon her in? Is it, what's going on here? Is it just because she's wound up by what Allison Kay was saying? There's still a few unanswered questions from this, which is good, because then it leads on to see what's going to potentially happen next week. Good stuff all around. Really, really good segment in the promo, and a really, really good quality wrestling match as well. There's another advert here for Who Is The Mark? A question-marked wrestler in a silhouette that you can't work out, and it suggests that it's probably going to be some kind of debut. It's coming across slightly comedy, so I know one or two people have suggested it might even be somebody like Grado. Interesting, interesting theories. Who knows at the moment? Not quite sure. Either way, short and simple, it's the same repeat that we see each week at the moment. As we mentioned earlier, Aaron Stevens came out and wanted a rematch with Ricky Starks. Well, he's got it, because the next match on the show is Ricky Starks versus Aaron Stevens. Now, Stevens states that the rematch is going to be a 2 out of 3 falls before he gets into the ring. Starks gets a quick, very quick first fall victory in the first 10 seconds. I've got to point out as well at this stage that Aaron Stevens' trunks are absolutely shocking. They're like a really tight, unflattering skin tone. Just different levels. He kind of comes across a bit like Adrian Adonis to me, the way that he portrays himself in the ring, which I'm all for. I thought that large man Adrian Adonis in early WrestleMania was a great character. And seeing Stevens with his, you know, his kind of his style, if you like, and the way he's presenting himself in those slightly less than flattering trunks. It did hark back a couple of memories of Adonis for me. Now, what I will say is that so far we've seen a lot of Stevens not winning. I think that's the easiest way to say it. He's taken a beating previous week by Starks, and he's taken another one tonight, because rather than what I assume a lot of people would have thought would be a one fall to Starks, the next fall to Stevens, and then a toss-up between whoever gets the final victory. That didn't happen. As I said, the first fall went to Starks in the first 10 seconds, and then he got the second fall as well. It was a brilliant roll-up finish while Stevens was gloating, doing his bow pose, etc. And yeah, Starks got the win. Stevens was sat in the corner of the ring afterwards, very much in a raven sat in a corner, sulking on the floor kind of position, looking absolutely baffled by what had just happened, which on perfect cue entered with the no, yes, no, yes chance between himself and the crowd. Really fun match, quite a surprising outcome. Harps on again to the fact that every week so far, there hasn't been anything very predictable. And that's what I'm loving from NWO at the moment. There isn't that much predictability. It's very simple storytelling. Nothing too over the top. Nothing too ridiculous. Just enough to carry the show on nicely for the hour slot that they've got. Every single match has delivered in one way or another what it was set out to do, but nothing has been predictable. And that's what's been really good, apart from the squash matches, which you can expect with some of the enhancement talent. But going into some of the matches, I would never have guessed there for at all that Stevens was going to get beat 2 out of 3 falls to Ricky Starks in the first 2 falls, like back to back. It just didn't compute with me beforehand that that was even going to be a thing. So fair play to them both. A really, really fun match. Next, we have Colt Cabana versus James Storm for the national title. I was really excited going into this match because last week, Cabana obviously got his win due to his team with Nick Aldis. And they got the victory leading to his title challenge tonight, which was great to see. I think a lot of people were looking forward to this one. Cabana, as expected, came out with Anderson in his corner, whereas Storm came out with Eli Drake in his corner. Now, that was quite a baffling sight, to be honest. Because I think a lot of people would have assumed that he might have brought Wildcard out with him if he was going to bring anybody out with him. Eli Drake turns up in his corner, which, again, harks back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show here, about where Eli Drake stands in terms of his positioning and what his game is all about. It was very odd. It made me think that Drake is definitely sly and a bit of a slink, and there's a lot more going on, and he's a bit deviant and plotting and planning some shit. Lots of really interesting, quite fun parts and elements of this match, as expected. I love how Cabana still comes across proper World of Sport with his style. And in fact, when I started thinking that and I was writing my notes down, the commentary team pretty much said it within 2 or 3 minutes of me scribbling that note down. It just the way he presents himself, his style of wrestling, his mannerisms, the noises he even makes in the ring, definitely is a kind of 70s, 80s World of Sport presentation to it. And it's really fun to see. What I take away from this match in terms of some of the moves, so to speak, that we used, one thing stood out that I thought was really, really good is when Storm swept Colt Cabana off the second rope and he kind of did the splits onto the rope straight into a DDT in the corner from Storm. And I thought that was really, really, it just looked visually really impressive, and I really enjoyed that little spot. Really good back and forth throughout the entire match. Obviously, Anderson and Drake squared up to each other outside the ring as well. Now, that was towards the end of the match. And for whatever reason, Camille came out, attacked Drake by pushing him from behind into Anderson. That, I think, kind of confused the wrestlers in the ring enough for Cabana to then do his kind of flop, if you like, and get the pin on James. We've got a new national champion, and it's fantastic to see. What a cracking match that was. It was really, really good fun. Now, the fracas on the outside of the ring didn't make much sense to me at first, but it's just mind games again, isn't it? What they're really good at doing is making you think you kind of know where we're going, and then something like that happens, and it makes you question, well, why has that happened? We're so used to, well, I'm so used to as a fan these days, kind of needing an answer and getting an answer for everything there and then, because there's usually 3 hours to fill. Whereas in an hour, they can do things without giving any explanation. You're like, well, what was that about? And you want to tune into the next week to find out what the outcome of that was. And I think we'll get that, clearly. I mean, there's no reason for Camille to come out there and do that unless there's something going on between her and Aldis planning something. She comes out and she attacks Drake from behind and then kind of stands in front of Drake, stopping Anderson from doing anything. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to finding out what they're going to do with it. As I said, though, new national champion, Colt Cabana. Well done, son. Get in, lad. Now on to arguably the most baffling promos of the night. It was just a short one, but considering what we saw earlier on, caught me off guard a bit. The Dawsons come out, demanding angrily a match with Kingston and Homicide. Now, I found this a little bit odd because earlier on, Homicide and Kingston had both come out and said, how about you guys wrestle us later on tonight, Dawsons? How about you wrestle us and we'll put our number one contendership on the line? To which the Dawsons said, oh, we'll think about it. But now, 45 minutes later, they're coming out demanding a match. It was a bit odd, but either way, we're going to get what we want to see, which is going to be, well, another group of four massive big lads battering the shite out of each other. And shock horror, it's exactly what we got. They all four jump in the ring, slap each other about, the ref makes it official. Now, as I said, it's just big lads giving each other a kicking, and that's what we've come to expect from these. And it's nice because it breaks up some of the other stuff that we saw earlier on, and it gives it a different dimension. There's that sort of roughhouse, big lads knacking each other, just big hosses chucking each other about. Great fun, great fun. Randomly, maybe not so randomly, Wildcard come out they look like they're going to be up to no good, but before they get a chance to do anything, Homicide knocks one of the Dawsons off the apron onto them, knocking them down. They then decide to interfere after that, attacking Homicide when the ref's not looking. But then the Rock and Roll Express come out to fend them off. Tag match continues in the ring. Homicide gets the pin. They celebrate with Rock and Roll Express. Wonderful end of the show. I think it was absolutely brilliant to see Rock and Roll come out. I was a bit... I think one of the only things that kind of let it down for me a bit was being aware that another promotion, being AEW, had used Rock and Roll Express quite recently, in fact within the last week or two, and they both got an absolute kicking on screen. So it deflated the idea of them coming in and, you know, just get kind of dampened in a little bit on the build-up to this week anyway, especially when we knew that they were going to be appearing. It kind of made it feel a little bit glum on the build-up. However, when they turned up, I didn't necessarily feel that way. I was just so happy to see them there. It was great to see them there. Just the way that they came in, you could just tell they were up for it, the way that they were moving with just even, they only had like a sort of mini fracas. They only sort of did a couple of punches and kicks, what have you. But just the way that they were moving looked really, really good. And you could tell that they were so happy to be there. And everybody in the audience popped for it. Kingston Homicide at the end of it looked really, really happy that they were there, that they were there to celebrate with them. Wonderful to see. As we've stated previously in other episodes, that the tag team division is looking incredibly, incredibly strong at the moment. And we couldn't... It's arguably... We're probably not going to see much more of Kennedy and Cabana while Cabana's champion. So there's one team that's probably not going to be in the mix that much going forward, which is a bit of a shame. But I think both of those guys deserve singles runs anyway. You know, they're not necessarily a team. They were kind of put together, I suppose, to meet the needs at the time. Rock and Roll are there now. Cabana's leaving here as champion. It's been an out and out. There's been a lot in this show. There's been a lot going on in this show. Now, one of the things I really want to mention is one of the adverts that were used in this. It was absolutely wonderful to see Nick Aldis advertising Retromania wrestling game. Now, the guys at Retromania are wonderful people. We've had them on the show for a chat and an interview. If you go and check out of our Hands Off the Merchandise podcast, which is part of BBG Wrestling. So if you get yourself onto bbgwrestling.com and go down to podcast, you'll be able to find it there. Brilliant chat with those guys in the past, talking about the development of the game. It's been several months since we last spoke to them about anything official. And oh my God, the fact that they have announced that they have now got an official partnership with the NWA is just absolutely amazing to hear. The roster of that game, I cannot wait to see what it looks like now, because it was just a snapshot of an advert. We didn't get to see the in-depth of what that actually means. If you want to know more about that, get yourself onto the Twitter handle at RetroSoftStudio. That's the handle that runs Retromania Wrestling Computer Game, which will be out in 2020. Now, we love those guys a lot. We're expecting big things. Everything that we've seen so far looks absolutely fantastic with that computer game. It's a hark-back to WrestleFest arcade machine. So if you're familiar with that game and you've played that game, a lot of us in our 30s have spent a lot of money playing that game. In fact, we run that cabinet at tournaments and competitions around the UK when we run the Grapple Arcade exhibition. It's just it's going to be such a lovely transition to the modern era of wrestling games, but with the feel and the energy and the fun of WrestleFest arcade game. It's definitely it's definitely something that looks on that and brings it forward, unlike other games have attempted to do. It's going to be a PC and console game. It's going to be coming out on the PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in early 2020. And if you're unfamiliar with the game, let me just quickly mention the roster to you. So now we know the NWA are going to be affiliated with the game. So that's going to open up a whole host of interest and potential characters. On top of that, confirmed characters so far, and official characters, I may add, with proper licensing and all that jazz, we've got the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal. We've got Nick Aldis. Of course we have. We've got Tommy Dreamer. We've got Colt Cabana. We've got Johnny Retro, Johnny Morrison, as some of you might know. Zack Sabre Jr., Hollywood Nova, The Blue Meanie, Big Stevie Cool Stevie Richards, Austin Idol, and more to be announced. The game's already stacked. We cannot wait to get our hands up in it and run it at some of our competitions and tournaments around the UK, because it's going to be happening. It's going to be happening. So stay tuned for that one. But yeah, NWA now involved. We are over the moon. We cannot wait to hear more about that. Now, before I wrap things up on this slightly shorter, it's not that short actually, is it? I've still got half an hour somehow. Bloody hell. One-man show. We did do a bit of a Twitter poll. And that poll was pretty much just asking the general public, what was your favourite match on the card on episode 5? I did miss off the very initial match. And the reason for that is I just thought we needed to kind of... we've only got 4 options for a poll on Twitter anyway, yeah? There was 5 matches if you count the open and squash match. And Dawson's did have a more poignant match later on in the night, which would be leading on to something else. So the matches we went with on the poll were Rosa versus Vox, Stevens versus Starks, Cabana versus Storm, Dawson's versus Outlaw Inc. There was a clear, clear winner. 63% of the 153 or so people that voted went to Rosa versus Vox. 63%. Now, if that's not an indication of what people thought of not just Rosa's in-ring debut, but the actual general match and the segment, to including everybody who was part of that segment, in fairness, because I personally count the in-ring match and the little fracas that happened afterwards as part of the actual match, then yeah, I think that's a high indication that people really lapped that up quite a lot, and people were very happy with how it went out. It looked great. Well done to everybody, every single one of the women that were involved in that segment, because the people have spoken. It was the match of the night. Well done, everybody. Now, that pretty much wraps it up for myself tonight. So thank you very much for tuning in. You can check out ourselves at Grapple Arcade on Twitter to see what we're chatting about at the moment. All sorts going on, loads of wrestling competitions and tournaments that we're running on Twitter, free to enter. Lots of general crack, you know, come along and have a bit of banter with us. You can find out a lot more about our podcasts that we're involved with and everything that we're doing on bbgwrestling.com. A big shout and thank you to absolutely everybody who's listening to our shows at the moment. I announced earlier on Twitter that last week we received over 3,350 downloads in a week, and that is brilliant. So thank you so, so much for everybody who's been listening. Really, really want to say thank you, and we really, truly do appreciate the fact that you're tuning in. And if you keep tuning in, we'll keep doing shows. So, you know, there is that, I suppose.